You friends with Ed Edelman? Did you used to learn with him?
I did not, but Amir Tashem, tomorrow I'm going to buy his car.
Oh, you're buying it. Okay, they're coming to St. Louis.
Yes, yes.
He said so, they found someone here to buy the car. I kind of thought it might be you.
Because you saw it. I saw
you advertising that you want a car.
So that's the Hashgacha part that works. So that's now being recorded that I am buying Ed Edelman's car. Amir Tashem, I don't know. Okay. I'm not embarrassed to have that on the internet. So where we were. So this is our parak. We are in Parak Shmuel Bet, Parak Tetzvav. You can see the sources here. Okay. Oops. Let me get that again. And we are looking at David running away from Avshalom. He's left Yerushalayim. He's crossed Nachal Kidron. He's moving east. And as he's going east with his party, Pasuk Chav Dalet, Negam Tzadok v'kol Levi mitot nosimet Aron Brit Elokim. And Tzadok, the Kohen Gadol, has come with the Levim carrying the Aron. V'etzikot Aron Elokim, and they set it up in front of David, that they came out of Yerushalayim with the Aron. Vayal Aviatar Adon Kol Ha'am Lavor Minair, and Aviatar is the other Kohen Gadol, comes with all his people to join David as they leave the city. And what does David do with this Aron? This is our two psukim. We're going to look at this here. Vayomar Melech LeTzadok, Hashev et Aron Elokim Ha'ir. Bring it back. That's very nice. I appreciate it a lot, but bring it back to Yerushalayim. Yimim Sachein b'nei Hashem v'shivani. And if I find favor in God's eyes and God brings me back, Arani Yotov et Naveo, then Hashem will show me His presence and His palace, His Beit HaMikdash, right now the Aron, the Ohel where the Aron was kept. I can't keep it with me. You have to bring that back to Yerushalayim. Im ko yomar lo chafatz tibach, and if Hashem says, I don't want you anymore, yaseli kasher tov beinav, he will do what is good in his eyes. And let's go back up to the top here. There we are. Okay. And that, I think, and I think I have to realize how important this is. That those two psukim, where David looks at the Aron that's in front of him and says, "No, bring it back." That is the climax of all of Sefer Shmuel Bet. This is where things turn around. This is where things change. This is where he is going to get to the point of undoing what went wrong with Bathsheba.
I thought you were going to say this is a redo of what happened with the. At the Mishkan, when Hophni and Pinchas, Hophni and what's the other brother's name? Yeah, took Hophni, the Aron right. From Shiloh.
Right, they brought the
Aron. Yeah, got it to the Plishtim.
Yes, so they misused the Aron. But I'm looking at more of our personal. That this is there's a character arc here that we've seen David building up to this to the point where the sin of Bathsheba happens and all the consequences of that are happening. And here's the point where that turns around. Because this is the point of tshuva. That's what I'm going to be focusing on, of what tshuva means. And this is the famous Gemara in Brachot. Makom shebali tshuva omdim tzadikim gemurim einam omdim. The place where Baal tshuva stands, someone who's never sinned can stand there as well. There's something higher about a Baal tshuva. It says shalom shalom l'rachot l'krov, that the peace comes to those who are far and those who are near. Rachok Bereisha v'Hadar L'Krov. First, to those who are far. Now we're going to look at this because we're not going to claim that David didn't sin, and we'll talk about what that means when the Gemara says, "Omer to David Chata Eno El Toeh." But here's where it reached the point where it's the climax of David's tshuva here, where he looks at the Aron and says, "No, bring it back." And what God does, that's up to God. I'm not the one who's in charge of that, because this has happened before. Not so much Chavi Pinchas, but to David himself. When we go back to Shmuel Aleph Perachav Bet, when David is on a run from Shaul, he first goes to Nob. The Kohen there gives him food, gives him the sword of Goliath, and then Shaul goes and wipes out Nob in revenge, kills all the Kohanim. Source 3. But Nob ira Kohanim, hika lefi acharav. No, the city of the Kohanim, that's where the Mishkan was wiped out by the sword. Me'ish v'arishami olel v'yadurneik, v'shor v'chamor v'selah v'yicharab. Men, women, and children, animals as well, were killed. Emolet ben echad l'achimelech ben achitov. One son of Achimelech, who was a Kohen Gadol, escapes. V'shor Eviatar. That's Eviatar, who was the Kohen Gadol, who's also joined David now, what are 45 years or so, 40 years later. He escapes by Ibrach Achrei David, and he runs to David, who's in hiding in Midbar Yehuda. And when the Aviatar runs away, and he goes to David in Keilah, Ephod Yerabiyah, he takes the Ephod with him. He takes the big day kahuna, the Ephod that has Urim Vatum with in it, he takes that with him. He doesn't have the Aron. The Aron at this point is not in the Mishkan, it's in Kiryat Yarim. He runs with the big day kahuna, with the Ephod. And that means that David cannot use this Ephod in the sense of the Urim Tumim and ask Hashem. He can act as the king. Vayomer David, Hashem, okay, Israel, Shema, Shema Avedecha. So he prays, please Hashem, listen to your servant's words. Shaul is going to try to come to Keilah where I'm hiding. Shachet Ir Bavari, and he'll wipe out the city across of me. So he's at, David will use the Ephod and he will ask Hashem, are they going to betray me? Are the people of Keilah going to betray me to Shaul? Hayirei Shaul, will Shaul come down after me? Kasher Shema Avdecha Hashem, okay, Yisrael. Again, El Avdecha, the way is this going to happen? Please let me know. Yom Hashem Yered, and Hashem says, yes. Shaul's coming and people of Keilah were going to betray you. Are the people of Keilah going to betray me? And my people be Shaul. They will. They will turn you in. So that's the story. And you have to excuse me, I realize I didn't bring my notes. I'm going to go grab them. The bottom line here is that David, who is not the king, who doesn't actually have the authority to use the Kohen Gadol and to ask of the Urim and Tumim these kind of questions, is doing that anyway. That was 45 years before. So Rav Medan emphasizes what's happening here. When he has the Aron, because this is all David wants. He wants to build the Beit HaMikdash. And he has this chance now. He's running away, but they're bringing the Aron out to him. And he says, no, you need to bring it back. So this is the way Rabbi Medan puts it. As he covered David Yushalayim, he's carried by Divrei HaNaviim Pamim Rabbah. The connection, the identity of David with Yushalayim is mentioned many times in Tanakh. As you see, Malachim, when under Shlomo, Uman David Adi, Uman Yushalayim. Shlomo prays for my servant, for your servant. And Hashem tells Shlomo, because of David, my servant, and because of Yerushalayim, Hashem Bechazi, I've chosen that. They all always go together. I'm sorry? Zika, identity, or connection. Zika is connection.
No bells are going off. Hazika.
Okay, let's go see what
Hazika.
Oh, that's Zika, great. Zika. Okay, no, that was quite Zika. And we don't want that.
That's too modern.
Yeah. Zika. Affinity. Here we go. Affinity in Wiktionary. How's that?
That's a good word.
Ooh, chemistry. Wow, I love that.
Okay, that's Zika.
The word you've seen, you know, from Tanakh, like.
It comes on these literary sorts of things.
Okay.
Not Tanakh, but in modern Hebrew.
I like it.
I guess affinity works well there because affinity sounds very hoity-toity.
Yeah.
So has he covered any Yerushalayim? Okay, so that's the connection. The Eid Yitzia Toshel David Yerushalayim. When David leaves Yerushalayim, the Eid Hamered, and during this rebellion, Ola Hashayla, Hakein Yeh Aron Helokim. The question comes up, where is the Aron going to go? Is the Aron go with Yerushalayim, or is the Aron go with David? Imina Dud Im David, is he going to wander with David? Oh, Yeshev Yerushalayim, he's going to remain in Yerushalayim. V'chira ben David Yerushalayim, in this choice, that now he's faced with a choice. In Yerushalayim or with David? Machriya David, David decides. Yerushalayim Adifa, this guy stayed in Yerushalayim. Kanish Dana Yerushalayim, we call Areya Shoftim. This is the point where David is saying that Yerushalayim is different from the other cities, or capitals beforehand. Remember, Givat Shaul was the capital because it was of Shaul. And all the during the Shoftim, Shari Az Nishtana Ir HaMalchut Al Pi Makom Gorosh Shal HaManhi. That throughout the history, that the capital was wherever the king was. There was no sense of permanence at all. This is the sign that Yerushalayim is the permanent capital. Politically,
so that means David actually decided that Yerushalayim was the capital.
Yeah, he's already decided that. But this is the point. He's already made this the capital for a long time. It's been that way for 35 years. But he's saying now that even if I'm not the king, Yerushalayim is still a capital. Again, the sense of it's not me, not where I am. It's the nation. If we can make a parallel to something at Grut Nafsho Shel David, Agalat Dino Shel Shofei Kol Haaretz. I'm trying to read this here. That he is similar to the fact that he's accepting the din. This is the tzedakah din of David when he says, whatever happens, he's quoted him here, right? If God wants it, then I'll come back. If not, I won't. It's not questioning God's judgment on here. This is the accepting of what's going on. So I would read this. This is the climax of the story here.
Doesn't sound like teshuva.
That's what we're going to talk about. What is this meaning as pieces of teshuva? Because I want to look at the story. I want to read the entire story so far, and we'll put the pieces together. Because it's not obvious. It's not obvious that this is such a major step, but I think it is. Because if we look at what teshuva is, and thank you for that segue. We classically have three parts. This is the way the Rambam puts it. You have vidui, admitting that you were wrong, charata al ha'avar, regretting what happened in the past, and kabbalah al atid, and committing to never do this avera again. That's what's involved in tshuva. You need to do all three things. The Rambam puts it. This is hilchat tshuva. Since Rosh Hashanah is coming soon, we shall review that. Yes, it's going to be a weird Rosh Hashanah. We have no idea if shul is going to even exist at this point and what that's going to mean. So it's fine. Rambam. Who will reshut kol adam netun lo? Everyone has free will. Kamosh v'yana, as we explained. Yishadel ha'adam lasot tshuva. Therefore, you should try to do tshuva. Even after you've done something wrong, you can make a difference and do something about that by this process what we're calling returning. And to remove the sin from your hands. And the goal here in Rambam's point of view is chai olam haba. You want to die with no sins in your hands. Remove the stain of that avera. That's your goal. And kol mitzvot shel Torah ben asei lo tasei, and any mitzvah that may exist, imavar adam al achat mehen, if someone violated one of them. Hold on a second. Torah is at the door.
Isn't this pretty?
There you go. That's very nice. Okay, got the letter in. Beim zedom, beim b'shagag, whether it was intentional or not, sheyaseh tshuva, that when you do tshuva, and the Rambam is very clear, he doesn't consider tshuva a mitzvah per se, it is something that you should be inspired to do, and when you do it, this is the process of doing it. Yeshu mechatato, try to come back from one sin. Hayel hitvadot, b'fnei hakel baruch hu, you have to confess, to say, I have sinned. And then he continues on in the next prakim, kind of developing what tshuva is, umaya tshuva, hushi yazav chachote chato, person should abandon the sin, the yasirenim mimachzato, not think about it, yigmor b'libo, shelo yaseod, and commit to not doing it again, v'chein yachem al sha'avar, and also regret having done it in the past. And some discussion why he puts the avar after the atid, but usually those three parts. Is
vidoy. So it's going backwards.
It is, which is interesting, and that's a discussion in the Rambam. You can look at that. And I've mentioned this before, that I can think you can look at the story of what happens after Batsheva, the story of Batsheva, in those pieces there. He does those things. He does vidoy, right then and there. Right when Natan comes to him, source 8, V'yomer David al Natan, Chatati l'Hashem. I have sinned. That's step one. That's not all. That's not done with tshuva, but that's just step one. V'yomer Natan al David, Kav Hashem ha'vir chatatka, Hashem has passed you over your sin, lo tamut, and Natan is very clear that he is not, David is not forgiven. He's all the punishment is going to happen, just this, you're not going to die from this. Not the ultimate price. You started the process. And in fact, David goes further than that and actually writes a Perek Tehillim, that is his vidui, which is more than just to Natan himself. He's basically publicizing it to everyone else and saying, here, all you Levi'im in the Beit HaMikdash, start singing about my sin, because there's a lesson there. And that's Tehillim Nun Aleph, which we looked at in detail. This is source 9, Nam Maseach, Mishbo David, V'voi lo Natan HaNevi, Kasher Ba El Bat Sheva. That was his parak about how my sin is always before me. And we mention that every day, three times a day, because the pasuk of Hashem Tzvatai Tivtach V'fi Yagid Tvatecha, that we say before Shemona Esrei, that's from this parak.
Oh.
Right. And I'm going to assume that, because when they set up saying this pasuk, they assume that you already know where it comes from, and you're thinking about the entire context of the pasuk when you're saying it. Those of us usually are just kind of mumbling through as fast as we can. Don't necessarily think about that. It's worth realizing that's what the Hashem Svatai Tzivtach comes from. It's David saying, I can't bring an Olah, lo techbot ba'olah la'zevach, but this is what I can offer you, is my prayer. That's his
way. By the way, Danny.
Yeah.
He doesn't say vidu. He doesn't say I sin before God until Natan comes to him.
That's true.
I mean, it's not like he had self-knowledge.
That's true. We talked about that he, you know, that from his point of view, at when it started out, he felt that Batsheva, what he did with Batsheva was appropriately right. That aside from God, I've got this woman, she's going to be the bearer of my legacy. This is all wonderful.
No, the only reason I raise that is because we have that line, Hashem, that what you say when you're starting to pray.
Right. Hashem's my text of shock. Yes. So it still counts as true if someone tells you did wrong.
Right. Think that teshuva for this sin would require him to give her up?
That, I think we talked about that a little bit. That yes, it would. But it wouldn't help. The question is, what would the teshuva be? I think we talked about it then, that if he did give her up, then she is an aguna.
She's what?
She becomes an aguna. As being the wife of a king, she can't marry anybody else.
Oh.
So that his act of marrying her is a matter of support.
Okay.
Halachically.
Okay.
It doesn't mean necessarily good. It's still problematic. But that's what. But what happens next is this charata al avar. And that's what kind of comes after the vidoy, and that charata al avar is not just, I'm sorry I did it, but it means making up for what happened. You know, you give back the stolen object. You have to be asked for mechila, what we do before Yom Kippur. We have to do something. We can't undo the past. But whatever is possible to do, we have to do that. That's what Hanukkah is. And that's part
of some point she forgives him too, no?
Right. And I think that's what happens in at the point after when Shlomo is born.
Yeah.
40 years, verse 10 is Vayinachem David bat Sheva Ishto. Now, we talked about this, but this, what does Vayinachem literally means to change her mind? Bat Sheva Ishto. This pasuk is the first time that she is called Ishto. Before that, it was all Eshet Uriah. That something has happened. We don't know details of what the relationship between David and Bat Sheva are, but it changes. Well, this is, you know, this was Perek Yud Bet. This is Gimel. This is, you know, 10 Psukim later, after their first baby has died, probably after four babies have died through all of this, they have suffered terribly. But something happens where now David is relating to her as Ishto. And that implies, I think, that she has forgiven him. And he goes to her, as opposed to before she was coming, brought to him. But Taylor then, she gives birth to the child, and it's Vayikra and Vatikra, and the prerogative, whether it was he calls a name, she calls a name, at B'Shemo Shlomo. David and Bathsheba have a relationship for the first time after with Shlomo's birth. That's my argument again. You know that beforehand it was a me too. That was simply David using his power to impose his will on her. And that's what the problem was. Now he is, that's part of the Karta Lavar. He's got to make up something here. And the other side of that we talked about, is that it's about Taylor Bain. She gives birth to a child. The last time the baby was born that dies, it's about Taylor Lobain. As a child for him. And we talked about the idea that this child was one that David actually was willing to give up. It wasn't his. He was willing to act as the Yibum, as having been a shame Uriah. That he can't bring Uriah back to life. At least he can allow that this son will be the spiritual legacy of Uriah rather than his. Again, that's all part of this Charata al Ahava. I got to make up what I can about the past. And that point, that Hashem sends message with Natan, by Krashmo Yedidia, this child is beloved of God. Bavur Hashem, this is the beloved because for God's sakes, that now he has achieved, he's unlocked another achievement. He's gotten through the Vidwa, he's gotten through the Hadarad Avar, but he has not yet gotten to that last point, which is Kabbalah Alatid. That's moving forward. So this is the Rambam. What does the Kabbalah Atid mean? Verse 11. Ezu Tshuva Gemura. What is complete Tshuva? Ze Shabal Yado Davar Shavarbo. If he comes in the same situation, that which he sinned with, the Efshar B'Yado L'Asa, and it was possible to do the same exact sin again, the Piresh B'Lo'Asa, and he doesn't do it. That's how you know you have successfully gotten beyond whatever sin that was. Maybe not Tshuva, because you've done Tshuva. Lo Meyira, and not because you are afraid to do it because you'd be punished, and not because you're too weak to do it, but you're in the same situation. You could do the same thing, but don't do it. That is Tshuva Gemura. What does that mean? Hareisha ba'al isha ba'avira. That's illicit relations with the woman. Bachazman nityached ima. And at some point, he is now alone with this woman again, who are made ba'avato, and still wants her, still loves her. Has the strength to do something. In the same place that he did the sin, and he doesn't do it. That's how you know you've completed. You've done complete shuvah in the same situation. And Mesha Chachma connects this to David. Let's look how he does that. Verse 12. And Amar Sof Yom Kippur. This is the Gemara. And this is Meshach Chacham, I see him from Advance, talking about Gemara and Yuma. Hechidami Baal Tshuva Machui. How is it possible to Baal Tshuva to know that he is forgiven and everything is wiped out? Rabbi Yehuda says, Ota Makom, Ota Perek, Ota Isha. I'm sorry?
So the same woman. It's got to be literally.
Yeah, it has to be the same. You know it's tshuva. You know it's tshuva if you're in the same exact situation. Okay, the Karo tshuvat hamishkal. This is tshuva that's called little tshuva. It's called what's weighed. It's when you say a tshuva shkula connected kol mitzvot Torah. This is the ultimate form of tshuva. Otherwise, you don't know that you've done tshuva from this unless you're exactly the same situation. Venerally, it appears to me, this is going back to David, that he felt that halakhically we talked about the justification, that mutar lo mitzadin, that he could justify what happened with Bathsheba, technically, that it was okay. Technically, he wasn't going to get punished by Beit Din. It was obviously, it was wrong, but it was legal. In Cain, therefore, someone else marries her. And that person is marrying the wife of the king, and that can't be. You cannot do that. So Bathsheba could not marry anyone else once she had been with David. Meaning, therefore she was going to be an aguna if he doesn't take it. What he's saying is that David would never be in that situation of faced with Bathsheba as somebody else's wife. He could not ever be in that state of doing this complete tshuva, being in the same position with Bathsheba. Because if he sends her away, marries someone else, wants her again, and doesn't, he's never going to be in that position. So that's Tilm says that the tragedy of his life therefore was beyond repair. There's no way to do it. I mean, he dedicated himself to repentance. He could never fully eradicate his sin. He could never be in that same situation.
Danny.
Yes.
When David marries Michal, was he anointed king then or no?
Yes, well afterwards.
So theoretically, she shouldn't have been able to marry the other guy.
Okay, that's a whole other question. So number one, he wasn't king at that point.
Being anointed, he wasn't king.
You have to actually become the king. That was the Navi designated him for the future. And the whole discussion there was she actually married to David at all? And the whole discussion of the Me'ah Arlot, and that's, the justification was that the original marriage to David wasn't valid. And therefore, we discussed, you can go back and look at the notes on that.
Okay.
But yes, that's a separate issue there. So I'm going to argue that in fact he can get, not, he maybe can't get to the same exact situation, but he get pretty close. As I say, the affair about Sheva was not a crime of passion. It was abuse of authority. It was David saying, I want to be the one to be, I'm the king, I'm the one who's going to be Bill Beit Midash, I can do whatever I need to do to make that happen. Right? He could take someone else's wife because he was the king. It's good to be the king. And justify it because he needed an heir to build the Beit Midash of something Yosei Mechal Tzav, that he knew that was going to come, and he had this vision of this woman in front of him, just like Yehuda and Tamar. Obviously, God wanted this to happen. That's the justification. So here, where David is outside Yerushalayim, and the Aron comes to him, I would argue it's the same kind of situation. David is the king, he's going to build the Beit Midash, and he has a sign from God. Right now, looking in front of him, he has the Aron, right there. Obviously, God wants him to take this and build the Beit Midash somewhere else, right? There's nothing in Torah says Yerushalayim has to be the capital. Whatever God says. Clearly, God's telling me, okay, you may be on the run from your son, but right now, I will allow you to take the Aron and go build your Beit Midash in Machanayim.
Maybe Hashem doesn't want the Aron to stay in Yerushalayim. I mean, he's presuming to know what Hashem wants.
That's true. That's all we do.
Okay.
Right. Okay. You got to use your best judgment here, right? And I'm arguing that certainly by Bathsheba the answer was he should have gotten the answer right. The Gemara says he was test. He knew the test was coming, and the answer was no. Okay. And I'm going to argue that the same thing is true here, that the Aron doesn't belong to David, it belongs to the people, to Knesset Yisrael. It's not his Aron.
Yeah.
And that's what he's willing, and the fact he's willing to say, no, it's not mine. That's coming back to, it's not quite Otama Kamo Otaisha, but it's as close as he's going to get.
Good.
Okay, he makes the right choice. Very true. I'm sorry?
It's pretty far from Otomakom. I mean,
okay. I'm arguing it's the same kind of situation, the same moral decision he has to make.
Doesn't feel like the same moral decision to me.
You're still okay. You still don't like the way I approach Bathsheba in general.
I'm getting closer.
I am arguing that.
But this just doesn't feel like the same desire and moral dilemma and lust.
I would argue that David never loved Bathsheba. It never says that, never claims that. David was looking at Bathsheba in the same way he looks at
people. Oh, I see what
you mean. Bathsheba was his tool to create his legacy in order to build the Beit HaMikdash.
Oh.
Okay, Bathsheba is the one who's going to make him the ancestor of Mashiach.
And we know he was obsessed with building the Beit HaMikdash.
Right. And I think that's part of what's going on. That's true throughout Shmuel that, and that's exactly what leads him down this path and what leads to all these disasters here. That's the essence of my argument. That's what allows me to put a plot to the entire story, to have a common thread, have this character arc that develops to this point where he can actually look at the Aaron and say, bring it back. And I can argue that's huge. And this is the turning point where things start getting better. I mean, he's still going to have to fight his son, but his son's going to lose. And he's still going to have to, you know, he's going to go to exile, but he's going to come back. We're going to see Hashem actively working on his behalf from this point on. Bring everything together.
I mean, basically, he still suffers the rest of his life.
We don't see a lot of suffering here. Right? The only suffering we'll see from here on, we'll see, right, his son Avshalom is going to be killed, but he doesn't want him killed. He wants him brought back. He's got one more rebellion that's going to go against him, and he's not getting involved. That's going to be just, Yoav goes out, takes care of it, and it's better. And then he gets old, and his Adoniah wants to be king, and he's being Malachim. It's not good, but so it's the point. This is the turning point. That's what makes this the climax. This is where things get better. And I think that's what we understand with this statement from Chazal that says David didn't sin. What do you mean he didn't sin? Of course he did. And we're going to go back to those very well known statements of Chazal, source 14. This is a statement from Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. David wasn't the sort of person who would do this sort of act of Bathsheba. Right? David wouldn't have done that. Lo Yisrael ru'in lo tamase, and Bnei Yisrael shouldn't have done the act. We're talking about the Egel Azah. El Lama Asu, but why were those done? Why did they do those terrible sins? Lomar lacha, to teach you, shem chata yachid, if someone sins, omrim lo, ka kalech etz yachid, go to look at that individual. The Rashi says, that's what the story of David is here to give pitchon pela shavim, to say tshuva is possible, even from a moral sin. Shem chata tzibur omrim, go etzel tzibur. Now, yeah, we can maybe have the example of an Israel who could do tshuva and come back from the sin of Chet HaEgel. Again, that's very hard to say. What do you mean David isn't ra'oi? Yeah, he did it. What is that? What does that mean? He only did it. It was gzeirat hamelech. Hashem made him do it so that he could teach us the lesson of tshuva. Very hard to understand what that means. And a similar statement in source 15. This is a well-known one. I'm Rabbi Shmuel Ben Achmini, Rabbi Yochanan. Kol omer David chata eno elo to'er. Anyone says David sin is making a mistake. And everyone's very much bothered by this. And you have some who try being highly apologetic and say, no, it was fine, right? She wasn't really married. It was everything he did was perfectly reasonable. But I don't think you can read Tanakh that way, right? David Natan comes to him and tell him what the terrible sin he did. They presented it before. This is me, so I'm quoting myself, okay, by the common Creative Commons source attribution. Okay, so I'm acknowledging I said this before, last time. Remember this? How can we say that David didn't sin? Or he sinned only as a lesson, right? He had in mind, oh, I have to do this so ugly people in the future will know that they can do tshuva for this. But I think we're missing in Gemara. Because in the context of Tanakh, as a written text, the David of Bathsheba is inconsistent with David of the rest of the Sefer Shmuel and the rest of the Tanakh. Right? David and Tehillim is wonderful. I mean, there are elves, he's saying Hashem. what is this story doing as the focus of the second half of Shmuel Bet when it's so consistent? How do we read that? Not that David wasn't ra'i for this, but the story isn't ra'i. What is it doing here in a Sefer Nebuah? That's the answer. It's there to teach us the lesson. Didn't mean it didn't happen in the life of historical David. But why write it as a part of the literary work? It's the lesson of Litiyahu Pitchon Pe'al L'Shavim. That's the lesson we're supposed to do here. This is the story of doing tshuva. And Omer David, you say that David sinned, then you're making a mistake. Not that he didn't sin. But it means that if you read the story of Bathsheba, and what you say is, oh, look at David, did the wrong thing, then you're missing the point. You're reading a pericope, a little piece, as a short story and a complete story into itself. And that's Meir Sternberg's mistake. And if you're Meir Sternberg, is a professor at Tel Aviv University.
Where was he, professor?
He's a professor at Tel Aviv University. And his Bible talks about the literary gap. Wonderful book. It's the Poetics of Biblical Narrative. That's brilliant. A lot of ways we think about reading Tanakh in general, but his chapter about Bathsheba talks about how Chazal are misreading it, but he's looking at just as one chapter without the context around it. I think you're doing that, that's your Eino Ela Toev. So you have to read the whole thing. It's a novel here. There's an arc of character development. And you come out with the story of David Chata, then you are misreading it, and you need to keep working on this. And that's what you have to look at the rest of it.
Very nice. I like it.
Thank you. Okay, this is not so much me. I mean, this is not original with me, this idea of the Eriach Hoteh is because the tshuva somehow undoes it. Not in the sense that it makes the sin go away, but it becomes, that's what the lesson we're supposed to get out of it.
No, what I really like is your take on the Gemara statement, Omer David Chatai no Ela Toeh, which is always, come on, you know. But
right.
I like what you say. What that means is, if that's all you can say, if that's the David Chata, period.
Right, because yeah, the statement of Shmuel Ben Archeni, is not David didn't sin. He doesn't say that. He says Omer David Chata Eino Elo Toeh is just making a mistake.
That's very nice.
It's a nice thematic point on Baal Tshuva also. Tshuva, you know, the idea that you're not defined by a sin, you're defined by your life, sort of, if you...
Yes, and that is going to be, I've got another 7 pages dealing with exactly that, thank you very much. Because that's a part of that, is that where does the chet fit into become who you are? And that becomes an incredibly important point. I think we should stop here because it's so important, but as we get into Rav Shagar, I don't know who Rav Shagar is.
Sounds familiar, but I can't remember.
He was a postmodernist philosopher, religious Zionist thinker, who pulls a huge number of philosophy. The person who introduced him to me was Joey Rosenfeld, so you know what kind of writer that is now. Susie doesn't know who Joey is. He's also a very deep thinker in all sorts of ways. Lots to get into that. So we're going to look back at tshuva and what tshuva means and how that relates to David's life and what David does with that and what David teaches us specifically about tshuva. We're going to stop here. We'll continue on next week.
Thanks, Danny.